Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm your host. And I hope you're having an extraordinary day. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join me. I promise, as always, to bring you an amazing, extraordinary guest who's going to talk about his level. And in this case, it is a him, R.L. Akers is his name, and he'll be on a little later. And R.L. is the author of the Griffin Saga Trilogy and also his recent international best-selling book, which is called Atlantis, Twilight of Mankind. Very extraordinary author and man. So we'll have him on a little later talking about his success and how he creates his dreams and all the amazing things he's done with his writing. You know, the show is all about inspiring you to move forward, to create the life that you love, where you're expressing yourself, your own indigenous talents out into the world. And I think it's so important for each of us to find our own ways to move forward. You know, we're in a very interesting time. There's more than ever things calling at us, getting our attention, having us go one way or the other. Tons of opportunities for most of us, and which ones do we choose? And what's really interesting, I'm finding, see, if you feel the same way, I have a lot of friends and colleagues who are coming to me and have been doing something significant out in the world, and they're at a crossroads. They're reevaluating what they do for a living and who they be out in the world. A lot of them are thinking about, wow, I've got this plethora of talents, and maybe it's time for me to make another choice. It's really interesting to be witnessing all of this. So people are being called in a lot of different ways. This may be true for you, too. Let's talk about how you can move forward so we create some grace and ease for you. First, and you can consider these mantras if you like, set a deadline. The most important step always to overcoming adversity and negative feelings within is don't wallow. Now, I also say don't swallow. I'm not all about having a feeling and pretending it's not there. That's not healthy either. But wallowing, complete opposite, right? So we want to find a really nice balance. So instead, set a deadline. Accept what has happened. You can experience it, at least emotionally. And emotional acceptance really is crucial. This happened. It makes sense I feel this way. I acknowledge I feel this way. I even let it run its course through my body at this moment. And then I have a deadline. My deadline is 48 hours. To be honest, the really interesting thing is once I acknowledge something I'm feeling and I allow it to be just as it is, it actually transmutes rather quickly. Much faster than the 48 hours I've allowed it. So there's something significant to allowing that energy just to flow through. Set a deadline. Next, you can focus on your skills. We all have skills. They're all very different. So always come back to what you know and have the confidence to trust in your skills. In business, for instance, that could mean reminding yourself that your skills as a salesperson are going to allow you to cinch a deal. Or maybe your skills as a marketer are going to give you what you need to create a successful campaign. Or your financial acumen is going to allow you to budget just right every time. Focus on what your skills are, where your strengths are. Third, eliminate distractions. Boy, of all the mantras I'm going to share today, for me, this is the biggest. I have the gold squirrel constantly going on. I get probably 1,000 emails a day, and I have to-do lists constantly. I'm a wee bit of a perfectionist, so I really like to make sure everything is taken care of and handled. There are lots of distractions, and of course, we all have hobbies, friends, family, animals, charities that we work with. There's so many things calling to us. So how do we eliminate distractions in probably the most distracted time in history? Well, we all encounter distractions. This we can't control. And many of them put enormous pressure on us. But they put pressure only if we allow them to. So there are strategic times when we can close off distractions and focus on one goal. I'm a multitasker. So again, this is the one that I need the most attention to. The two most important actions that we can take to stay mentally focused are eliminating the outside noise and focusing on what we need to master. So for instance, if I have a to-do list, which I always do every day, I will literally number it one through, and then my priority is always the number one to get done. And then how do I take off pressure? I tell myself, Deb, all you need to do today is the top three. I take all the pressure off. Those top three most important, handle that. The rest is gravy. So if I finish the top three and I have a lot of time left and attention span, I will keep going down the line and knowing those are all bonus points. I just got karma points for doing the rest. Fourth, let go of the need to win. This society is predicated on winning. And if there's a winner, there's often a loser. We don't want to feel like a loser, and sometimes we get stuck analyzing and thinking about what everybody else is doing and what we need to do in order to win. It's really important to take a moment and focus on what really matters to you, what motivates you intrinsically, and to become more intrinsically motivated. Stop focusing on beating others, getting rich, caring what everybody thinks about you. Instead, you can focus more on what do you desire to get out of life? What is, at the end of the road, would be the most meaningful for you to have contributed or received out of life? And who is the person you ultimately desire to become? And how can you get better at whatever you're already doing? So ironically, when we start focusing on that instead, that's when we begin to win much more often. Focus off of winning and just being who we really want to be and doing what we want to do and giving what we want to give. And the last thing is be a leader. Be a leader, not a victim. If you have not embraced failure in a positive manner, learned from failure, and reprogrammed your ego to your own intrinsic motivation, it's much harder to become a successful leader. I am all about taking ownership. Taking ownership is the first step to not becoming a victim. Don't be afraid to say in your life, yes, I messed that one up. Mea culpa, my fault, I am so sorry. Then give yourself a deadline to accept what happened and look for other ways to succeed and refocus your goals. And trust me, the people who are in your life will love you for taking the time to be responsible. And also you open the door for them to do the same. That's how we move forward. These are your five ideas that you can employ today, this week. Learn how to accept failure as a necessary step in your road towards success. Reprogram your ego and redefine yourself, your career, and your destiny, and get back on the path. Eliminate those distractions and let go of the need to win, and you actually will win a lot more. Well, my honor to welcome R.L. Akers to the show. He loves stories. He's an international best-selling author, and Akers loves hearing stories, loves telling them, loves embellishing them, and loves forging them from raw materials. Akers has written the Griffin Saga trilogy, as well as Atlantis, Twilight of Mankind. With a degree in computer science and a master's degree in business administration, Akers has worked in software development as well as nonprofit fundraising and publicity. His love for children has led him in the past to be a foster parent and a coordinator of the K-5 ministry at his church, and he currently invests time each week in the lives of local high schoolers. His interests include graphic design, orchestral movie soundtracks, and anything remotely creative. Akers lives in West Virginia with his wife, Sarah, and four children. You can visit him online at rlakers.com. and his best-selling books are available on Amazon. R.L., or Bob, it's so great to have you on Dare to Dream. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to our conversation on your latest book, Atlantis, and your life as a writer. So to start with, Bob, outside of your current storytelling as a novelist, what's your background? How did you arrive at all of this?
Well, for my quote-unquote real job, I am a software developer. I program applications, mostly web applications, for an enterprise business that I do freelance contract work for. I did, as you mentioned earlier in that great introduction, great introduction. I worked for a time in nonprofit. That's actually what took me to West Virginia, working with an agency that did food distribution statewide, and also worked with the homeless. So I really feel blessed that I have been exposed to a couple different industries and just a wide variety of interesting things in life, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, very interesting. And it's clear when you say in the bio, your love for children, foster parent, ministry of the church, local high schoolers. What is that for you? Why is that important for you or meaningful for you to connect with children and young adults that way?
Well, I just, people are interesting, you know, all people are interesting, but children especially. I love kids. I love their enthusiasm, their joy, their innocence. You know, their, generally speaking, their lack of cynicism. And so I love being around that. And you know, I was single for a long time before getting married, and so working through the church with the kids there was always a joy for me. It was my fix, if you want to put it that way. But at the same time, recognizing that there are so many children who have been beaten down and have been born into, or just through no fault of theirs or their parents, have been in bad situations, or are growing up without parents, you know, I've always had an interest in adoption and fostering. And so I actually, you mentioned the fostering. I did that as a single person for several years, had pretty much just two long-term or longer-term placements. it was tough. You know, it's tough at times. It's being a parent stuff, period.
Yeah.
Challenge, but it was a great experience.
Has any of this made its way into your books, all the things you learned working with children, fostering, in your background, in your myriad of backgrounds in the sciences and computer? Have these factoids or feelings or experiences made their way into your novels?
Well, I'd like to think that when I write, that it's evident that I really do believe that every human life is precious. You know, the very first... the first Prometheus novel I wrote, the Griffin Saga, as you mentioned, Prometheus Rebound, you know, it definitely focused on one main character, but every other character that was involved in that story had a name and had a purpose and had some degree of background, whether or not I fleshed it out in the story. And especially in the early drafts, that got me into a little bit of trouble with some of my editors and proofreaders who said, mm-hmm. Okay, this is too much detail. I mean, who cares? We don't care about this guy over here. But in my mind, you know, especially when you're talking about a military thriller or any kind of story that involves action and, you know, combat and sometimes death, I'm thinking to myself, you know, when a person dies, that's not just something flippant. Even if it's not terribly important to the specific story being told, there's a degree of gravity to that. And I, as the author of that story, need to weigh that carefully and treat that person with respect, you know, treat that life with respect, for it's precious.
That's really interesting. Are you one of those writers to whom the characters actually speak and dictate what's going to happen to them and what they say?
Sometimes. It surprises me sometimes how the characters do seem to take on lives of their own, particularly because, you know, you talk about writers that are plot writers and then writers that are character writers, and, you know, and they set out to write a plot and the characters just don't get that well developed, or they set out to write characters and the plot doesn't matter as much. And honestly, I would call myself a plot-driven author. I set out with a story I want to tell, and then I say, okay, what characters can I create to fit this? And almost inevitably, those characters become something different, maybe not remarkably so, but still, they turn into something a little more real and sometimes surprising than I intended. So, yeah.
Do they wake you up in the middle of the night and talk to you or dictate?
I'm not sure I should admit to that. They might be knocking on my door, taking me away. But no, they surprise me sometimes. In fact, that Prometheus Rebound, that first book, there's one character in particular who I just had to completely rewrite his portion of the story because he was going to do something really, really surprising, and it changed the end of that book.
Oh, intriguing. I like that. Okay, so for all you big readers out there, that's one it sounds like to actually key into, something driven through the writer by the character. And so your latest book, Atlantis, where did that idea come from?
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed the Greek and the Roman mythology. I'm not even sure when that started, maybe taking Latin in high school. And of course, to some lesser degree, the Norse and the Egyptian mythologies. And just, you know, you find yourself thinking, well, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, obviously, between the Roman and the Greek. There's a great deal of similarity and connection. But all around, you know, I find myself thinking, could this have had a common origin? And so this particular idea, my take on the Atlantis legend, has been knocking around my mind for quite some time, many years. And yeah, sometime, I guess about a year ago, a little more than that, it was time to start. It was time to start writing it down. This idea of one culture, one society, prehistory, you know, predating our history or what has survived of our history, and somehow influencing, you know, some element of truth that might have been distorted into what we see today in these other mythologies, what has survived there.
It's interesting. Atlantis was first described by the Greek philosopher Plato more than 2,000 years ago, and you're talking about the legend. A lot of people say it's a myth. It was created by Plato, and others say, no, this was a real historical disaster. How about you, Bob? Do you believe that Atlantis existed?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because this absolutely fascinates me as well. You're right. Plato was the first one to ever mention Atlantis per se. And as best we can tell, looking back, they didn't necessarily take it for anything more than it was at the time, you know, some sort of an allegorical foil. From what I understand, what I've read, there was a man named Ignatius Donnelly who wrote a book about Atlantis that was kind of pseudo-historical, pseudo-scientific, I want to say within the last couple hundred years, 1700s or 1800s. And that's what really sparked this idea of Atlantis as possibly a real place, a real culture lost to, you know, lost to the waves, you know, it sank in a single night, you know, because of the hubris of its occupants, you know. And so as far as whether it's specifically Atlantis, the interesting thing, the title of my book is Atlantis. The word Atlantis never appears in the entire book because even if it's a real place, it was, you know, Atlantis is a very Greek word. That was, you know, Plato named it that. I totally backed into this, of course, but inside the book it is referred to as Autolos or the Isle of Autolos. So a similar name so that there's that connection. But no, I wrote it with this idea that if it was later called Atlantis, that was a later name for something that may, you know, that may have existed in prehistory.
Right. Okay. And your book rating has a rating that this is for adult consumption only. That's really unusual. Why does it have that kind of rating? What should we expect?
Well, you know, as I've noted, I love kids, and particularly after that first time I put a book out, I was kind of surprised to hear from friends, you know, who had children saying, oh, our kids want to read the book. They're reading the book, or is it okay for them to read the book? And that surprised me because I never really thought about that. And that was fine for those. They, you know, retrospectively, I'd say, they're good for, you know, age 12 and up, the Griffin series. They deal with some heavy stuff related to war, but not, you know, not anything too terrifying or horrific. But knowing moving into the publication of this book that you know, I'd be seeing that question, it really made me think about that. It's like, you know, this is not really a story for young readers, and I want to protect young readers. You know, there's so many things that destroy innocence in our world, and which interestingly is also a theme in this book, that I wanted to make sure to you know, protect readers from that. If parents picked up, they want to see, and all too often we don't know when we pick up a book. We have regulatory agencies that make sure that TV and movies and even video games are clearly marked, so we know what the content is. I wanted to do the same. Of course, I had to create my own rating lest one of the other agencies sue me for stealing theirs. But yes, the rating of this book is 18 plus, because while it is not my intent to write anything racy or titillating in my book, it does allude to, and in some cases get a little bit specific about, some very dark things happening in this world. The sacrifice of children, the denigration of women, because ultimately my version of Atlantis, for reasons that are important to the plot, is a very dark and dystopian society.
Mm. Well, we're going to be coming back and asking more from the author about his main characters and how does he create dreams? What does he do? What's been important and meaningful? And what kind of challenges and issues he may have found professionally that he's been able to overcome? You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Download your free Dare to Dream Radio app from iTunes. The free app is called Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. And join me also on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Rejuvenate Medical Spa is your premier results-driven medical spa, voted the number one center for beauty and restoration for men and women at rejuvenatemedical.com. Rejuvenate Medical Spa has proudly served as skin and laser specialists over 10 years. Offering the best in non-invasive cosmetic treatments and custom-made care for you. For hair, body, and skin, call Rejuvenate Medical Spa with your questions. Or schedule a free consultation at rejuvenatemedical.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Learn at your desk teleseminars. Desire to fix your finances? Become a best-selling author? Execute your goals full circle from dream to done? Learn how to be interviewed on the radio for your business? Expert Debbie Dashinger teaches worldwide teleclasses. Her teleseminars receive rave reviews. Sign up for the teleclasses or receive the downloadable audios. Go to DebbieDashinger.com for your audio class now.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream, and I'm interviewing best-selling author R.L. Akers. You can go to rlakers.com to learn more about this amazing author and his books. And Bob, I want to talk about your main characters in your latest book called Atlantis. Adana is one of them, and the second one is, I want to get this pronunciation right, Diakao? Is that how you say it?
Okay. It's actually Dakeo.
Dakeo. And Adana.
Obviously, readers can pronounce it however they want to in their minds. So.
Okay. And why those names? And tell us a little bit about them and what goes on between them.
Sure. Well, as we talked about in the first segment, a lot of the inspiration for this novel comes from Greek and Roman mythology. And this character specifically, and if you read this, you'd see this. If you had much background in Greek mythology, you would see the similarities to the character of Hercules, or rather Heracles in Greek mythology. And so a lot of what you see of this character has been inspired by that one. Or, of course, if you want to look at it from the other direction, from the story perspective, this idea that this might have been a character that later inspired, you know, the legends about Hercules. And so as far as his name is concerned, within the legend of Heracles in the Greek tradition, he had a different name. Alcaeus, I believe, was his birth name before he was restyled Heracles. And so that's where this idea of Dakeo, or the name, came from. All of the demigods, known as Eidolon within my story, have this D apostrophe construction to their name. And rather than going too far off the reservation, I tried to inject a degree of recognizability to some of their names so that you could kind of see some of the parallels with the Greek and Roman characters that came later, mostly Greek. Recognizing, of course, that it had this actually happen this way, their names would never have evolved along recognizable lines, but I still did that as kind of a clue to the reader.
And is there something that do you think you're going to carry this on? Is there something coming next after Atlantis, or are you going to be taking a big departure?
You know, this is a standalone novel. It's meant to be read standalone, and no matter what might come later, it does stand on its own. However, you know, I've been playing with some ideas, since publishing the book. You know, it probably isn't a big surprise to say that some of the character that, you know, the whole society is gone at the end of the book, but, you know, some characters do survive, and I realize I'm not entirely ready to say goodbye to them yet. So yes, I have been working on some other things, as well as trying to tell some short stories about some of the other demigods, since this book focuses on, Dakeo and his sister Donna. And I realized suddenly I didn't fully answer your question from earlier. The as far as the brother and the sister go, Dakeo and Adana, the story revolves around them. It jumps back and forth between the two of them, and chapter by chapter. And Dakeo is the son of a god, this god who is one of 23 gods of a pantheon that are ruling this city. And so Dakeo, he kind of uses Dakeo to set out and he sets out on these quests and does these things to try to kind of manipulate public opinion in his favor, as he makes his bid for absolute power. And so Dakeo is kind of a member of the established order here, while at the same time, his half sister Adana, whom he loves dearly — Adana is a mere mortal, mm-hmm. She's his half sister by a different father. And so, she is one of those people in the city who has no power whatsoever and is probably at the greatest risk of being taken advantage of, because this is a society where people take what they want. And so she actually sets out towards the beginning of the novel to do what little bit she can to help people, particularly children and young girls that she sees are going to be sacrificed to the gods, which can mean a couple different things. But and then, of course, as the story goes on, she actually falls in with a group of underground rebels, and does what she can to kind of shake things up, to try to — overthrowing the gods isn't even something to consider, but to do what she can to help in a small way. And so, as you might see, despite this wonderful relationship the two of them have at the beginning of the book, they're on very, very different paths, and that's where some of the big conflict of the book comes from, is the two of them, kind of speed towards a confrontation as they realize what the other two have been up to, or the other one, each realizes what the other one has been up to.
Fascinating. I'm curious, somebody like you, and I'm not sure if people realize the bandwidth you have when it comes to creativity. You've also created games, yes, that you sell and offer on your website?
Well, there is a game, and it's funny how that happened. The idea was that it was a board game, and I model it in some small way after the game of chess, which is, of course, a fairly ancient game. But again, with this idea that it might have been an inspiration for chess. And the way that all started was because I got to a particular scene where one character looks at another and says, you think you've been operating on your own, but you've been a pawn in this whole thing. And that's towards the end of the book, But I write that word, and then I wrestle, as I often did through this book, with the meaning of that word and the etymology of that word. And pawn means something very specific that may not have had a meaning before board games existed. So then I had to back and say, I need a board game. So go back and add through the story there. There are times when they're playing games. What game are they playing? Oh, they're playing this game called Four Powers, and it's like chess in some small way. And so I have this this sickness, if you will, that I have to flesh out every detail. So I had to make the rules. I had to write it all out. I had to design the pieces in 3D and get that out there. So yeah, that's all on the website, namely the Atlantis book website, if there's any interest in taking a look at that.
Yeah, and your video even, and I know there's much more than even I'm aware of, but the video that was created for your book launch was created by you. And it's this, sprawling, just for a few minutes, but it's like you're sitting in a movie theater watching the best trailer. So your creativity at this point, as far as I can see, knows no bounds. So let's talk a little bit, Bob. This is Dare to Dream. How do you make dreams come true? As a creative, clearly you get an inspiration. You're talking about this almost obsession to learn or create or follow something through. How do you make your dreams come true?
You talked earlier about deadlines, and deadlines are huge. Time that's set away, set apart aside from distraction, but also having boundaries. I say that I try to write every day. Honestly, that I'll go weeks where I manage to write for an hour every day before my quote unquote real job, and then I'll go weeks where I don't touch anything. But I also have a dedicated time, generally set aside one full day per week, that I get away without distractions. I literally turn off my email so I don't see it coming in. And I try to ignore all calls except for my wife. mm-hmm. And and I just write, even when sometimes on those days I don't even feel like it, you know, but I try to put something new on paper. But again, going the other direction, you know, I also have a real life and real responsibilities that I have to have that boundary of saying, even though I want to keep writing, I've got to go to the real job now, or I've got to go, you know, to family stuff. And that's sometimes the harder thing to do. But yes, just having a plan, having dedicated time set aside is so huge.
Having a plan and dedicated time and challenges and issues. When you're creating your dreams, when you're setting forth these creative inspirations, what kind of challenges and issues do you tend to face? And what do you do to get through them?
One of the challenges that we just discussed is finding the time. We talked about that. But another big challenge is that struggle struggle of needing approval and wanting my art to be appreciated, if I can be so bold as to call it art. Mm-hmm. But wanting it to be liked, you know, and especially when you get started writing, it doesn't matter what great ideas you have. I would imagine most people like me are going to put out some, you know, not fantastic art to start with, at least in this industry of writing. It was tough reading some of the feedback that I got in the early days. And there's a balance there. You can't just be so internal that you ignore what everybody else says and forge on ahead and put out crud, you know, put out junk. I mean, you know, especially if you're dealing with getting feedback from people that care about you and that are going to give honest feedback, you've got to incorporate that. However, on the flip side, you also have to, like you said, dream, and you have to be willing to step out and take the risk of putting your stuff out there. At some point, you've got to give birth to your baby, you know, and put it out there. It can be an emotional experience. Yeah. So there's that balance, you know, caring enough, but not caring too much about other people as you create your art.
I love that, attachment and detachment all at once. That is a real balance. I got to ask you, how involved or not involved are your wife, Sarah, and your children in your books? Do they read? Are they involved in the process at all?
Well, Sarah was more involved than anyone in this last book. You know, I sat her down, and when that moment came and I realized it's time, I've got what I need. I've got it fleshed out enough in my mind. I'm going to start writing Atlantis. I sat her down and I told her the whole story, which involved skipping most of the beginning or most of the middle, but telling the beginning and telling the end and how the characters would progress. And she loved the idea. And, you know, so I sped to the office and started writing. But she read every chapter or each grouping of chapters almost as soon as I finished it. Read it so much faster than I wrote it, which could be depressing at times, you know, spend weeks working on a handful of chapters and she'd done in an hour. Motivationally, it was amazing. And she continues to be an amazing encouragement to me because she reads it. She gets excited. She likes it. You know, then she kind of says, by the way, you need to change this, that, and the other thing. But on the balance, she's just such an encouragement. And that's encouraging too, you know, that she has the investment in the story to want to fix things that didn't strike her as quite right. But to have her there pulling, you know, so to speak, reaching, trying to grab each chapter as soon as it was done, it was like it was drawing those chapters out of me at a speed that I hadn't previously been able to write.
Oh, exciting stuff. Phenomenal. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you for, you know, writing such a great book and helping to propel it forward. Well, we're going to go on a break. This is Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. Stay right there. You can join me on Twitter, my name, at Debbie Dashinger. We will be right back.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video, and audio downloads online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
Rejuvenate Medical Spa is your premier results-driven medical spa, voted the number one center for beauty and restoration. For men and women at rejuvenatemedical.com. Rejuvenate Medical Spa has proudly served as skin and laser specialists over 10 years, offering the best in non-invasive cosmetic treatments and custom-made care for you. For hair, body, and skin, call Rejuvenate Medical Spa with your questions or schedule a free consultation at rejuvenatemedical.com.
Be laser-focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio Show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio Show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Isn't it time to stop the frustration and excuses and instead create a life that you love? Introducing the magic of creating your dreams. Go to DebbieDashinger.com and click on products. In the magic of creating your dreams, Debbie shares effective, easy-to-apply tools to change the course of your life in miraculous ways. With these powerful tools, you can finally achieve your dreams. DebbieDashinger.com, the magic of creating your dreams.
MediaMasteryRadio.com. Learn how to get booked on radio, be paid in money, time, and sales quickly while helping others through your media visibility. At MediaMasteryRadio.com, learn how to get on radio and be interviewed. Debbie Dutchinger is a success and media expert who is a proven professional. Go to MediaMasteryRadio.com. Stop struggling to acquire clients. Learn to achieve instant visibility to the masses. Book radio interviews for a profitable business. Learn to communicate what you do and get results at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
Thank you.
you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing R.L. Akers, who is an international best-selling author. Akers has penned the Griffin Saga Trilogy and Atlantis, Twilight of Mankind, all available on Amazon, and his website is rlakers.com. Bob, this is Dare to Dream. So what are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Wow, that's a broad question. certainly, there's so many stories I want to tell, and it seems the more I write, the more stories I want to write, and so it kind of grows exponentially. Probably won't have time to do all of those. Outside of the reading world or the writing world, I should say, family, love family. Looking forward. You want to talk about dreams? It may sound silly. I dream of growing old and seeing some grandkids. That's a ways off, but that's a huge dream as well. But people, friendships, relationships, community. That's what I love.
And what do you want people to know about your book, Atlantis, Twilight of Mankind? What have we not yet spoken about that you would really like to share?
Oh, wow. Let me think. Atlantis. I honestly don't know what the Yeah, exactly. Buy it. And I think we're dropping the price again this weekend for Black Friday.
Oh.
It was a great deal of fun to write. It was hard to write at times, and a little bit hard to read proofreading because there is so much darkness. But this is what I'd say: if you do buy it, and if you struggle a little bit with some of the darkness in the early chapters, just know that the darkness is there to help provide contrast to the light when it makes its appearance later in the book.
All right, so stick with it, buy it, read it, and I love the fact that you're giving all of us a break for Black Friday and going forward. So, keep checking it out on Amazon. And you'll see them there. And, the book's received amazing reviews. It's a beautiful novel, highly recommended. And as a writer, for all of those out there who want to write or are currently writing, what writing ritual practice do you do, Bob, that's really powerful for you when you write your books? What helps move you forward and ground in the process of writing?
Well, everybody's probably different in this regard, but what works well for me is just having a very detailed outline. Starting out, it's great to jump in. You've got that particular scene you want to write. Great, jump in, flesh it out a little bit so that it's doable, feasible as a story goes. But at some point before you get too far in, especially if you're writing plot-driven stories, you've got to know where you're going. And so for me, I start with a bullet point outline that has one bullet or one number point for every chapter so that I know what happens in each chapter and whose perspective it's being told from. Sorry about that. This phone's ringing across the room.
Popular author, ringing off the hook.
Yeah, exactly. I also have to, then go in and do that at each chapter level. But as far as people getting started with writing for the first time, what made a world of difference for me, because I tried many times and failed to finish, what made a world of difference for me was this thing called NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. And it's this huge, big, hairy, audacious goal, right, that you're going to write a novel in a month. So you can plan all you want leading up to it, but when November starts each year, whatever year you choose to do this, when November starts, that's the first moment you're allowed to actually start writing prose. And your goal is to hit 50,000 words before the month is over. And it's such a ridiculous goal on the surface that it's a huge motivating factor. And it works. It really does. That's how I got my first manuscript done. And I know it's worked for other people, so I would encourage that.
Whoa, what was that like? So the first of the month comes around, boom, the gateway opens for you to start, and you know you need to produce, and you know that as every day occurs, you're getting closer and closer. You've lost yet another day towards the end of that month. What was that like for you? How did you accomplish or keep writing or giving?
Well, I had my outline, like I talked about, ready. It wasn't as as complete as I thought at the time, and changed a lot in the couple years that followed before I published. But I had my outline ready and even my cover designed, because it was kind of an exciting thing to see a cover. And then I went to bed at 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. on the 31st of October and woke up at midnight to get started and have that big day. And, so then the weekends, I just wrote all weekend long. On work days, I'd try to get in 2 or 3 hours after. And, 50,000 was not that hard. I actually hit 60 before the end. I'm also very, very wordy. That may not be everybody. But it was an amazing creative outpouring, and it kept going 3 or 4 days into December. I thought I was going to keep on going forever like that. And then I hit this brick wall on the 4th or 5th day of December and didn't write for a month. So it really isn't something that can go on forever. However, for a month, it's a very empowering experience to realize you really can do this.
Mm. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. I understand that could open the door for you going forward. No matter what you're going to write, you've got it in your wheelhouse. You know what you're capable of. You've already done that once to that degree, so it's there. It exists. You can employ that. And you mentioned the book cover and the inspiration that came up while you're going through this month-long writing process. So let's go. The cover of your current book, Atlantis, features an imposing statue of a ram, which looks almost like the Sphinx. Talk about that. Why?
Yes. Well, it is not a coincidence. This may be a little coy, but I'll say you kind of have to read the novel to know why. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not a coincidence. The Sphinx is such a kind of a darkly inspiring sort of a figure, I don't know what to tell you other than you got to read the novel. There is a connection there.
Read it, learn the connection. And if you could, Bob, if you could go back and say anything to your 16-year-old self now, from who you are today, go back and say anything to your 16-year-old self, what would it be? What would you say, and why?
I would say, don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses, although I'm not sure I would have understood that expression at the time. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about who else might be publishing novels at age 15 or 18, or what their process is, or even what their voice is. Work on my own voice, discover my own voice, don't rush. Just be myself with the talents and inspiration God has given me, and use that.
Don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses. And question, I notice that people tend to have themes. Each year, it seems to be, there was one overarching theme this year. It seemed to be driven home to me that I needed to learn this. I needed to get this, something that may have been humbling or life-changing or insightful. What for you has been the most important thing that you've learned this year?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, not taking myself too seriously is always a good one. It's pride is such a hard thing to fight, and it's so prevalent. And you know what? It doesn't need to have any kind of rational or it doesn't have to have any kind of rational reason for feeling prideful. We get full of ourselves and we start to think that we're more important or more impressive than the people around us for some reason. And then having a small accomplishment like finishing a book, doesn't help that. But just reminding myself that, every person has value. And that is one of the core themes actually of this book, that every life is precious. Mm. I would say that's a good one that kind of came out in my creative output.
How can we find you? How can we follow you, Bob? For those who want to connect with R.L. Akers, what are the best ways for them to do that?
Well, you've mentioned the site several times, rlakers.com. There's also Facebook. I'm not as good as my publicist might wish at posting on Facebook, but the link to my Facebook is from rlakers.com. And certainly if anybody posts on that page or wants to send me a private message, I will respond. And then, of course, there are the book websites that you can jump on there. I'm not a huge social media guy. I enjoy it more as a consumer than a writer. But yeah, I'm certainly accessible if anybody's interested in discussing or even kind of poking fun at me. I like I said, I try not to take myself too seriously.
Thank you. I'm really grateful you came on the show. Thanks for writing such an amazing book, Atlantis: Twilight of Mankind, and appreciate you coming on Dare to Dream, Bob.
Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you as well. Honor and a pleasure. And folks, I end today's show with this quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, which is, "When I heal my wounds, it heals my fathers, and it heals the wounds of future generations. The cycle stops." To everybody, thanks so much for joining us today. Please subscribe to my YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. If it is time for you to learn how to do media, do so at MediaMasteryRadio.com, also my website, DebbieDashinger.com. I'm so grateful that you joined us today on Dare to Dream. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to DebbieDashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can. To forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want.